Welcome to the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Get your questions ready and send them to wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Questions about finances, long-term care, insurance, and everything that goes along with preparing for the next phase of your life. Gar and Leanne Lenander have the answer. Email your questions to wisemoney@klbbradio.com or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. And now it's Wise Money on KLBB with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial Services.
Welcome to the Wise Money Show. It's Leanne and Gar with Lenander. Again, with some topics that seem to come back every so often, we get these questions. And if we're getting questions on this, we know that other people are not certain of what the answers are. So one of the things that always comes up is beneficiaries. So let's talk a little bit about beneficiaries, first of all.
What is a beneficiary?
What is a beneficiary? A beneficiary is someone named to receive the benefits of something of value, such as property, a home,
investments,
or life insurance.
Let's go right to life insurance, because that's the one we hear about most often.
I get those questions, unfortunately, very, very frequently. Who can be named a beneficiary? Well, literally, you can name anybody a beneficiary, but when you write life insurance, they must have an insurable interest.
Now, what does that mean?
Means I could be named beneficiary for Leanne's life insurance, but I could not be named beneficiary for Stan Turner's life insurance.
Oh, Stan would love that, though.
Stan would love that. I think Stan likes me. He might do it, but I don't think so. But because I have no insurable interest, I have no reason to have value to him. If he dies, I cannot be named beneficiary. After the policy is issued, then Stan could make me his beneficiary. It's a paradox, but that's the way that's what the rules are. But let's say two people own a business. There's an insurable interest. They could name each other beneficiaries on for life insurance for a buy and sell agreement. So it's very common for people to have life insurance to name family members, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, spouses, children, as their beneficiaries. I would say 99% of what we see are those people named. So a beneficiary, in order to have it written, must have an insurable interest.
That's in life insurance.
That's in life insurance.
Now, if you go into investments or you go into a house, something like that, that's a whole different ballgame.
Whole different ballgame.
Because in that case, they can name anybody they want for a beneficiary. And when they name their beneficiary, one of the things that they've got to think about is how that asset is going to benefit them and also help the individual who owns that asset now.
What do you mean by benefit them?
Well, what's going to happen when you pass that on to that individual? Is that individual, for instance, if it was a house or a piece of property, going to take care of it? Is that individual interested in owning it? Now, when it comes to investments, it's the same thing. What's going to happen when those investments, say an individual stock or stocks, mutual funds, bonds, whatever, what's going to happen when those assets pass on to that individual? Hopefully, they're going to be using it appropriately.
As the owner the owner now wants it.
That's right. And they're not concerned about having an insurable interest because it's not life insurance.
It's not life insurance. No. Where the insurable interest comes, that's been, as far as I know, I'm 50-plus years in the business. It's always been insurable interest.
Now, one of the things to take into consideration, when you are going to pass assets on in the form of a stock or mutual fund, and you're looking at an investment, do you pass it on before you die or after you die?
And that is a very, very important question.
And that's a tricky one, too.
That's a tricky one.
And the reason we're saying that, it has some real tax implications. If you have stock, for instance, or mutual funds, something in those kinds of areas for investments, if you pass it on and you've had the stock for a long, long time and you give it to them before you die, that cost basis or what you paid for it is going to continue on. In other words, if you bought it 10, 15, 20 years ago, and you paid, say, for instance, $71 a share, and then you've had dividends, and you've added to it, and you give that to that person, and then they want to sell it, they're going to carry that cost basis, and they're going to have to pay taxes on that, and that could be a big burden. Whereas if you wait until you die and pass it on afterwards, that cost basis is moved up. So say you had $71 a share and now the cost basis is $110. Well, when you die, it goes right up to $110, and you can declare that at the time of death or 9 months later. You have time to decide. But the point is the tax situation changes drastically.
This is something that's always very difficult to convince people to do. Oh, I want my children to have this stock. I want to give it to them now. What did you pay for it? Well, I bought 3M back in 34 or whatever, and I paid 37 cents a share, and now it's worth $80 a share. Don't give it to them now. Wait until you die, because you change the cost basis on that, and they are going to get hammered. Unfortunately, we see that very, very frequently, that we get involved with trying to help people settle up their estate and find out that they've got stock that was given to them before they died, because Mama said or Papa said, gee, I'd sure like to give you something. Here's some shares of stock. And then they die. Oh, the tax ramifications are horrible. It's something you have to be very cognizant of.
The only time when you really don't think about the cost basis is if you have a retirement account. Because what's happening there is that retirement account can be passed on, and they can be passed on, say, for as an inherited IRA. So already it's in an IRA. It's in a retirement account. Maybe it's at some 401k. Maybe it's in an IRA. And you're saying, okay, I'll put the beneficiary on that. And when you pass on, then they go ahead and they get it, and they can roll it over, and they can put it into an inherited IRA. So it's something that they've inherited, and they can continue with it. The one thing that you have to be careful about is that that person who had it the first place was taking money from it, which through the required minimum distribution, the RMD, they have to continue with that RMD. I did have an individual who inherited, it was a retirement account for 3M, and he was an uncle, and he happily left his nephew this money because he felt he could really use it. He had a growing family, but the money was already pulled for the RMD, and so when he got it, he could go ahead and continue with it, and then the next year, the RMD had to be taken out. So each year from then on, because it already had started, he had to continue with it. So those are some things you really have to think about when you set up your beneficiary. Is it a regular account, regular stock account, regular mutual fund account? Is it some kind of a retirement account? You look at it different ways tax-wise.
So there are some things that you need to do. You need to get somebody to talk to you about these things. If you've got some money, you want to pass it on, talk to somebody, because many times another voice, another thought will help you save some money in the long run. And nobody likes to pay more taxes than they have to.
And plan to think very carefully about your will, if you have a trust, and how these individual assets got started, the kind of assets they are, and who you want to pass them on to, and take into consideration if it's going to be beneficial to whoever you pass it on to, and someone who has some knowledge. And if they don't, you better leave an attorney's name, because that attorney may have to get involved. There is a probate process here that has to be looked at carefully. So the beneficiary situation is something you take into your situation very carefully, too. Because if you have a beneficiary, it will go right to that beneficiary.
Whatever your name.
It will supersede a will, which means it'll come first before the will. So there are some things there you have to consider, and that's why you need to look at having somebody you're even working with. Even a CPA can help in certain situations.
If you have questions or comments, give us a call at 651-436-3997.
or 651-365-5000.
You have another comment, Lauren. We both looked at each other like, somebody say something.
Well, one of the things that you have to look at, too, is when you have stocks and when you have bonds, there's different things that come out of those stocks and bonds. With stocks, you have dividends, and that becomes and can become part of your cost basis. With bonds, you have interest. Now, that might be a whole different ballgame. And when you come into tax-exempt bonds, then you're dealing with that. The interest on those bonds are not going to be taxable, like in Minnesota. But dividends can be taxable, and that can become part of your cost basis. So when you figure out the cost basis, you have to take those dividends into consideration, too.
It's very complicated at all times, and people who probably don't pay as much attention to it as they should can wind up with some serious tax consequences over a period of time, or on their death, the family can be hit with some taxes that they really hadn't planned on. Now, remember, life insurance comes in income tax-free, but life insurance death benefit could be part of the estate. So there are some things you have to look at.
When you're reviewing your estate and when you're planning it, and you're deciding between a will and a trust, then go to an attorney and be sure you have it set up appropriately. Then have everything down so that when you go on a trip, when you go somewhere, at least you have a list of where the assets are, who the attorneys are, this kind of a thing. Because if something happens to you when you're traveling, and people are traveling every day, it's summer, they're taking trips, they're going out of the country, they're going to Europe, they're staying here, going out of state. And if something were to happen to you and there's an emergency, they may need to go to your assets. Or if a death happens, then they have to know who your attorney is or where it's at. And believe me, some of these things are so well hidden, people don't find them for years.
Right.
So be sure you have these things listed.
One of the big things, again, with life insurance is people ask, and they keep asking and asking and asking, well, death benefits are taxable. No, death benefits are not taxable. I got hit twice, not last week, but the week before, with that question. And no, death benefits are not taxable.
It's the estate.
It's the estate.
Will have tax ramifications. So if you inherit something like this, you're not going to be held accountable until you get it. And before that, it's the estate that has to work it out.
They have to work that out if any taxes that are going to be due comes out of the total of the estate, and then you get what's left over, the cream that's spilled off the top, because everything else should be. If it's done properly, it should be done before you get the money. We'd like to thank you for being with us this morning. Again, if you have questions, call us at 651-436-3997.
Or 651-365-5000.
We like questions. We like comments. If you have a topic you want discussed, give us a call. But the questions are the best thing.
It helps us a lot because we know what people want to hear.
We get questions with our clients, but we don't get enough questions from the audience. Thank you for being with us this morning on The Wise Money Show.
Experience counts now more than ever. When it's time to trust your finances to someone else, experience counts. And Lenander Financial Services are financial professionals who specialize in assisting people just like you with personal finance, investments, retirements, insurance, and long-term care planning. Call Garwin and Leanne Lenander at 651-436-3997. That's 651-436-3997. Lenander Financial Advisory. Experience counts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for Wise Money with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Join Gar and Leanne each Saturday morning at 11:45 for more of the Wise Money Show. Email your questions to Gar and Leanne, and the address is wisemoney@klbbradio.com. That's wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. Join us again next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial on Club 1220 KLBB.